Chapter 17. When the Silent Sisters came for him, he was on one knee in the meditation cell, his sword drawn and the brass icon in his hands. The words of the Lectio Divinitatis were on his lips, embedded in his thoughts after so many repetitions, and the women exchanged quizzical looks with each other to hear him murmur them beneath his breath. They summoned him with brisk gestures, and he did as they demanded. His duty robes gathered in close around him, the feel of the roughly woven material on his skin still chafing on the new scars from his injuries and the vacuum burns. He left his power armor in the chamber, but the sword came with him. Libertas had not left his side since the duel in the Sea of Crises. They led him up the length of the Somnus Citadel, to the glass needle at the very tip. It wasn't until he entered, and they closed the doors behind him, that he laid eyes on another Astartes. It seemed like weeks since he had last seen a kinsman. The figure came closer. The chamber was a cone made of glass triangles and thick coils of black metal, and the architecture cast strange shadows with sharp edges from the reflected earthlight.
"Nathaniel, ah, lad, we feared the worst."
He nodded.
"Yakton, I live still with the grace of terror."
The Lunar Wolf raised an eyebrow.
"Indeed."
Unlike him, Cruz wore his battle armor, proudly sporting the colors of his old legion. There were other figures at the edge of the shadow, and Garrow studied them. The Oblivion Knight came forward with her novice behind her.
"Sister Amandira," he said with a shallow bow, "why have you summoned us here?"
He tried and failed to keep an edge of annoyance from his words.
"What trial must we answer to now?"
Garrow glanced at the novice, expecting the girl to provide an answer, but her face was flushed with tension and fear. At once the Death Guard's hands tensed around the scabbard of his weapon.
"Others," Cruz warned, nodding into the shadows.
"You are here, Astartes, because I have ordered it."
The voice came from the dark. It was firm but quiet, not in the manner of a military commander, but that of an educator. A counsellor. A puff of flame flickered into being in the shadows, and Garrow saw the shape of a golden eagle sculpted with wings spread, as if to take flight. A brazier burned underneath the raptor, tricking the eye with the dance of light and heat. Footsteps approached, and with them came the heavy tapping march of a staff against the stone-tiled floor. Garrow's throat tightened as he flashed back to the assembly hall aboard the Endurance and the arrival of his Primarch. But it was not Mortarion who emerged from the shadows this time. There were two men, but they were much more than that. Even barefoot, the taller of the two would easily have been a match for Iacton Cruz in his full armour. The watchful, hard lines of his face emerged from a suit of golden armour, that was cut like that of a Terminator, but worn like that of a normal Astartes. Even at a distance, Garrow could see an infinity of worked tooling in the etching that covered the glinting metal, the repeated shapes of eagles and lightning bolts. A cloak of rich red material hung around his shoulders, and a towering gold helmet with a plume of crimson atop it was held in the crook of one arm. In the other, at an angle that betrayed the ease with which the warrior held it, rested a weapon that was half lance, half cannon. A guardian spear. The signature war gear of the Emperor's personal guard, the Legiones Custodes. Garrow had often heard it said that the Custodians were to the Emperor as an Astartes was to his Primarch, and looking upon this man, he believed it. The warrior studied Garrow and Cruz with a level, emotionless gaze. The guardian's presence alone was enough to indicate the lofty status of the man he accompanied, and they bowed to the hooded figure in his simple administrator's robes. The man in the voluminous mantle would blend seamlessly into the masses of any imperial hive city, were it not for the staff he carried. Atop it, the golden eagle in its basket of flames, with steel chains looping down the length, each inscribed with axioms. This was the rod, and it could only be held by one man, the regent of terror himself, first of council, overseer of the tithe, and confidant of the emperor.
"Lord Malkador," said Garrow, "what do you wish of us?"
He dared to raise his gaze. The sigilite's hooded glance came to rest upon him, and although Nathaniel could not see his eyes, he was immediately aware that he was under intense scrutiny, in ways that he could only guess at. Malkador, so the stories said, was second only in psychic might to the Emperor. So unassuming in aspect, but here in the chamber with them, the man exuded a serene kind of power, quite at odds with the brash energy of a warlord primarch, but no less potent. At the corner of his vision, he saw the witch-seeker back away a few steps, as if she were afraid to be too close to him. The regent's vision fixed Garrow like a spotlight, sifting through his spirit like sand. He tasted a greasy electric taint in the air. The Death Guard met it and did not resist. He had not come this far to keep secrets.
"The Emperor protects," said the sigilite slowly, as if he were reading the words from the page of a book. "He does indeed, Astartes, in ways that you cannot begin to comprehend."
Malkador paused, musing.
"I have heard the words of Rogel Dorn, examined the evidence of your testimony and the mnemonic records of the Lady Oleton, and thus I will be direct. Garrow, you came home in hopes of seeking an audience with the Master of Mankind, so that this warning could come to his ears. This will not be."
Garrow felt a flash of disappointment. Even after all that had happened, he still kept the light of hope alive.
"But he will hear the warning, Lord Regent."
"You cannot come to Terra. So Terra comes to you."
Malkador nodded at the staff.
"I have heard the warning, and that is enough for the moment. The Emperor is indisposed as he engages in his great works within the Imperial Palace."
Garrow blinked in surprise.
"Indisposed," he repeated. "His sons turn against him, and he is too busy to learn of it. I do not understand."
"No,"
said the regent,
"you do not. In time, these matters will become clear to all of us, but until that moment, we must trust in our master. The message has been delivered. Your obligation has been completed."
Garrow saw Cruz tense.
"Is that why he is here, Lord Regent?"
The Lunar Wolf nodded to the custodian guard.
"Are we to be dealt with? To be removed from the field of play?"
Malkador was very still.
"There are many on the Council of Terror who suggested that just such a resolution should take place. Matters of men's loyalties, once thought to be solid, are now in flux."
Garrow took a step forward.
"I will say to you, Lord, what I said to the Primarch Dorn. Are not our deeds enough to convince you of our fealty? I know you can see into the truth of a man's heart. Look into mine and tell me what is there."
A hand emerged from the folds of the robes.
"There is no need, Captain. You have no call to prove yourselves to me. After your ordeal, I felt that you were owed the truth. I came here to give it to you in person, so that there would be no misunderstanding."
"And now," asked Cruz, "what of us, Lord Regent?"
"Aye," said Garrow, clutching the icon in his grip. "We cannot stay here, watching the stars and waiting for the day that Horus comes seeking battle. I request..."
He fixed the regent with a hard glare.
"No, I demand that we be given a purpose."
Garrow's voice began to rise.
"I am an Astartes, but now I am a brother without a legion. Alone, I stand unbroken amid all the oaths that lie shattered around me. I am the Emperor's will, but I am nothing if he will not task me.
The Death Guard's words echoed around the glass tower, and Kendall's novice shrank visibly to hear them. Malkador gestured with the eagle head staff.
Only in death does duty end, Astartes, he said with a hint of satisfaction. And you are not dead yet. As we speak, the Lord Dawn assembles his plans to oppose Horus and the Primarchs he has turned to his banner. Lines of battle are being drawn across the galaxy, arrangements for a war of such magnitude that mankind has never known.
What will our place be in it?
Malkador inclined his head in a tiny gesture.
There is a matter to which you will be set. Not today, perhaps not for many months, but eventually. The War Master's disposition has made it clear that the Imperium requires men and women of inquisitive nature. Hunters who might seek the witch, the traitor, the mutant, the Xenos. Warriors like you, Nathaniel Garrow, Eacton Cruz, Amandira Kendall, who could root out the taint of any future treachery. A duty to vigilance.
We are ready, said Garrow with a nod. I am ready.
Yes, replied the sigilite. You are.
He found Voyen in one of the meditation cells, carefully ministering to his war gear. The apothecary bowed slightly to him. Garrow noted immediately that Voyen's robes were the plain, unadorned clothes of a citizen petitioner, not the duty mantle of an Astartes. The sewn patterns of the two-headed Aquila and the skull and star of the Death Guard were absent.
Merrick?
He asked.
We prepare to leave, and yet you have kept yourself isolated from us. What's wrong?
Voyen halted and glanced at his commander. Garrow saw something new there, a kind of defeat, a melancholy that was etched into the lines of his face.
Nathaniel, he began. I have read the tracts you gave me, and I feel as if my eyes have been opened.
Garrow smiled.
That's good, brother. We can draw strength from them.
Hear me out. You might disagree.
The battle captain hesitated.
Go on.
I have kept this from you, from all of the others. What happened at Istvan, what Horus and Mortarion did, and then Grulgor and Decius.
He took a shuddering breath.
To my very core, brother, these things shook me.
Voyen looked at his hands.
I found myself frozen, my weapons useless.
His eyes met Garrow's, and there was fear there, true terror.
It broke me, Nathaniel. These things, I fear I may be a part of them. Responsible.
Merrick, no.
Yes, brother, yes,
he insisted. Voyen pressed something into his palm, and Garrow studied it. A bronze disc embossed with a star and skull symbol, crushed and twisted.
I must atone for my dalliance with the lodges, Nathaniel. The Lectitio Divinitatis has shown me that. You had me promise that if the lodge ever compelled me to turn from the Emperor, I would reject them, and so I do. The lodges were part of all this. You were right to shun them.
He looked away.
And I was so very wrong to join them.
The leaden certainty in his voice told Garrow that no argument would shift his brother from this path.
What will you do?
Voyen indicated his war gear.
I relinquish my honour as an Astartes and warrior of the 14th Legion. I have had my fill of death and treachery. My service from this point on will be to the Apothecaria Majoris of Terra. I have decided to dedicate the rest of my life to search for a cure for the malady that claimed Decius and the others. If Grulgor did not lie, then that horror may already be spreading among our kinsmen, and I must hold true to my oath as a healer above and beyond my oath as a Death Guard.
Garrow studied his friend for a long moment, then extended a hand to him.
Very well, Merrick. I hope you will find victory in this new battle.
Voyan shook his head.
And I hope you will find victory in yours. Nathaniel.
He turned from the window of the observation gallery and gasped. The woman stepped out from between the two silent sisters and touched him on the arm.
Keela, I thought you had been taken.
She smiled a little and he studied her. She seemed fatigued, but otherwise unharmed.
They have not hurt you.
Is there ever a day when you don't concern yourself with the welfare of others?
She asked lightly.
I have been allowed a moment of respite. How are you, Nathaniel?
He threw a look back at the curve of terror beyond the armor glass.
I am uneasy. I feel as if I am a different man. As if everything that led up to the flight from Istvan was just a prologue. I am changed, Euphrates.
They were quiet for a moment before he spoke again.
Was that you in the citadel when Decius broke free, and then again out on the surface? Did you warn me?
What do you believe?
He frowned.
I believe I would like a straight answer.
There is a bond, said
Keela quietly.
I'm only just starting to see the edges of it myself, between you and me, between the past and the future.
She nodded at the planet.
Between the Emperor and his sons. All things. But like all bonds, it must be tested to keep it strong. And that moment is upon us now, Nathaniel. The storm is coming.
I am ready.
Garrow's hand found hers and enveloped it.
I was there when Horus betrayed his brothers. By the Emperor's grace, I will be there when he is called to account for his heresy.
Beneath the light of terror, the two of them, soldier and saint together, looked to the birth world of their species. And as one, they began to pray.
The Flight of the Eisenstein was written by James Swallow and read by Jonathan Keeble. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited, 2011. All rights reserved.